Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Christmas Eve, April 26th, the day before the NFL draft, and I am pumped. We are pumped. The Niners are never in the Super Bowl, so probably my favorite NFL day of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. Well, I mean, Niners, I mean, they've been in the Super Bowl more recently than most teams.
I wasn't there for... Oh, no, I was, because of Jimmy Garoppolo Super Bowl. I try to block that out of my memory.
Yeah.
And the Kaepernick Super Bowl, we were in Chile.
Yes.
For when he threw three incomplete passes on the five-yard line.
That's true.
The two Super Bowls the 49ers have ever lost, the quarterbacks had a QBR below 10 in the fourth quarter.
That's not fun.
My standard for quarterbacks for the 49ers is not to have a QBR below 10 in the fourth quarter of a championship game. I was not in love with Kaepernick, but I was fine until he did that. I was not in love with Jimmy, but I was fine until he did that. I don't think that's a ridiculously high standard to hold.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't think that should be a problem.
I was at running at the high school in our neighborhood, Alta High, and the girls' lacrosse team was having, like, Jersey Day or something like that. And I saw some, like, deep cuts. I saw, like, a Von Miller Broncos jersey, a Derek Carr jersey. But one of the girls had a Jimmy Garoppolo jersey, and I instantly got enraged. I obviously didn't say anything, but I was pretty heated.
Yeah.
When people, you know what bugs me? We are getting off topic, and I apologize. When people say that there's no difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy, all you're telling me is that you didn't watch the 49ers play.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy could throw the ball deep. He could escape pressure, do everything that Jimmy couldn't. And it was literally, you saw the most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
Right.
Watching the 49ers.
Yeah. I think the best thing you can do as your reputation as an athlete is get paid a lot of money. Because if you're making a lot of money, like, a lot of people are going to be angry when you do well, but they're also going to think you're a good player still.
That's true. Now, I always say that the difference between cute and creepy is how attractive you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that holds true with Jimmy Garoppolo, because he is objectively a very, very handsome gentleman.
Sure.
If he was like a 4, I don't think people would like him as much as they do.
I can see that.
So, what do you do? Glad he's gone. Glad he's gone. Today we got an interesting show. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs, just because me and Matt were both very wrong on the Knicks-Cavs series. That just wrapped up. Lakers are playing right now. Miami's up 3-1. I told you that could happen. Told you Miami could win at least one of the home games. They won two of them.
You did tell me that.
But we're going to do a mock draft. This is something we've never done before. We're going to alternate picks and see how it goes. We're going to be kind of a combination of what we would do versus predicting what would happen, because a lot of what we would do is just not going to happen. So kind of a mix of predicting versus also what we would do for those teams in each situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be, I guess, kind of the whole show. Never done it before, so really excited. And we're going to give Matt the even picks because he's an Eagles fan and they're picking at 10 and 30.
Yeah, so should be a good time. I've got all of my materials in front of me. So I don't think it's a surprise to anybody listening that we have sports that we know more about, and football is what you know more about than me, or one of many things. But we'll see how it goes. I'm ready to give it a go.
And we're not doing trades just because it make it easier for everybody.
Right.
And I have no idea. I was filling out a mock draft that I do with my buddies earlier today, and I have no idea what's going to happen. I've never had so much trouble kind of trying to predict what trades are going to be, if there's going to be trades, things like that. Some picks will spend more time on than others, so this could be a 5-minute thing. This could be a 45-minute thing. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Do you want me to keep track of it? Do you want to keep track of it?
I'm going to write it down just to keep track of it for myself. So okay. I can do that.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So I'm picking for the Panthers at number 1. I should probably pull the draft order up just so I don't confuse myself. I'm picking for the Carolina Panthers at number 1. I'm going to pick Bryce Young, best player, best quarterback. Panthers traded up for a quarterback. The only issue with Bryce Young is I don't even care about the hype, which isn't great. He's been short his whole life, though. I care about the weight and being injury-proof. We've seen, you know, Kyler's been hurt. That's just an example. Probably shouldn't have given Kyler as an example since I'm not going to name other ones. But, like, size does matter, and the best availability – oh, I butchered that. Best ability is availability. That's the only concern with Bryce Young. But all the quarterbacks have issues, so you might as well go with the best guy. So Carolina goes Bryce Young at number one.
Absolutely. I like it. Cool. Well, at number two, I am going to go
– this is Houston.
Yes, number two for Houston. I am going to go Will Anderson.
Ooh.
I think a lot of people have them taking C.J. Stroud, which would be a smart decision. But one thing that you've talked about is if you're going to be bad, it doesn't make sense to get a rookie quarterback and put them on that clock before you get good. You want to be have the rest of the roster be good, then get a good rookie quarterback. Now, you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot and get like the 24th pick and all the good quarterbacks are going to be gone. I just don't think that the Texans are going to be good enough next year where they're going to really ruin their chances. I think they can draft good defensive linemen, build up the roster, and still be bad to get a quarterback in the next year or two.
Yeah, well, they should have been picking number one this year, but Lovie Smith, with the ultimate FU to an employer that was about to fire him, won the last game and cost him the number one pick.
Yeah, good for him.
Which was awesome. And there's a lot of smoke that the Texans agree with you and they're going to go with an edge player or at least a non-quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So that could very well happen. Will Anderson, I think he's been the victim of he was so good that we forgot how good he was, right, and we were kind of looking for chances to ding him. But he was unbelievable at Alabama. Nick Saban's never talked more highly about a player than Will Anderson.
That seems like a good sign.
He's a rare – I don't think he's a Bosa, but he's a rare high-floor, high-ceiling player where you feel very confident your worst case getting, like, a really good starter.
Yeah.
So, good pick. I like it. Number three, Arizona Cardinals. Ideally for them, I think they would go like to trade out of this. Maybe Indianapolis trades up. Maybe Tennessee, I heard, could trade up or trade back. We're not doing trades in this, though. And they're not taking a quarterback. So I'm choosing between, in my head, Tyree Wilson, edge defender from Texas Tech, and Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback from Oregon. In real life, I think the Cardinals would go with Tyree Wilson. I'm going to give him Christian Gonzalez because I think he's a better player and I feel better about him. Most people, I'd say it's like 60-40 or like 70-30, like Devin Witherspoon over Christian Gonzalez. I just watch Christian Gonzalez. He's super smooth. He's tall. He's got the measurables you want. You know, really, really impressive plays at Oregon. Not a lot to dislike, in my opinion. And you need help everywhere. So I think either edge or corner, you can't go wrong with that. But I like Christian Gonzalez enough to take him at number three. So real life, they'll probably trade out, but I go Christian Gonzalez to the Cardinals.
Okay, cool. I like it. Cool. So I am next, which is the Indianapolis Colts. And so I think if you're the Colts, there's a few things you can do. But I think if you're at this position, you know, you feel good that a couple quarterbacks have fallen to you. You've got your choice between C.J. Stroud and Will Levis. So I'm gonna give them C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
I think he is. You know, I know people are kind of going back and forth between him and Will Levis. So I think I'm just gonna go Stroud because I just think he's played in bigger games and someone who's not really a football expert. I think that's the best I have to go off. Obviously, he's a higher rated recruit. I think he's got a much bigger ceiling than Will Levis does. And so for those reasons, I think you take a swing there.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked before. I think C.J. Stroud's floor is like Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, which you want to do better than that. But if that's the worst-case scenario, especially on a rookie contract, I think that's fine. And Indy does have – last year they didn't play great, and it's not as good as a roster it has been before. But Indy is in a situation where a good rookie quarterback, you know, they have a decent roster. They could compete pretty quickly, especially in the problem is Trevor Lawrence is in the AFC South. But other than that, I think it could easily be the best team or one of the best teams if they hit on Stroud. So
yeah.
So I like the pick. Seattle at 5. This is tough. So I'm choosing between Tyree Wilson and Jalen Carter, I think, comes into play. I'm going to go Jalen Carter. And here's why. What worries me, I guess I'll start with maybe why I shouldn't before I go why I did. So not as concerned about the incident, the traffic incident. I don't know how in depth we want to go on that. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked a little bit about that. What's more concerning is the pro day, showing up 9 pounds overweight, job interview, biggest job interview he's ever going to have in his life. And I look at it, he didn't seem to care. You could also say he had just been arrested, had a lot going on. So you give him a pass there. There's been some reports that he's not very coachable as well. So it's not just the pro day. It's not just the incident with the car racing. There's a few different red flags, but on the field, he's the best player. Pete Carroll, they have two picks in the first round. They have another pick of the 20. So let's say Jalen Carter flames out for non-football reasons. It's not going to be like when the Titans just wasted a pick on the guy, I'm blanking on his name, who didn't end up playing. Like, they can still get another productive player at 20. So I think his talent plus where Seattle is, it's worth the risk. And especially, you're playing San Francisco for the division. San Francisco is going to try to run the ball every which way. If you can blow that up, Jalen Carter is your best way to do that. So I think he's a good fit there.
Yeah. Cool. I like it.
Number six.
Yeah, that is that's who I was going to pick for the Lions.
Ooh.
And part of the reason, he's a great player. I think the best player available. I'm also a little bit disappointed because I think now, for the Lions and what they need, I think they need another cornerback. And so I think I have to take Devin Witherspoon, taking him off the board for the Eagles. Best corner at this point. I'm just typing that in for myself.
And a lot of people think he's the best corner. And I've seen him to Detroit as much as any other player anywhere. So I think it's a good match. And Detroit, same thing. I think Jalen Carter would be a great fit there, but I think corners, they traded Jeff Okuda to Atlanta. So I think that's a good fit. I like Witherspoon. Have you gotten to watch any of his highlights at all?
Not too much. I have not watched a lot of Illinois football this year, believe it or not.
I unfortunately watched a few of their games this year. Now, his thing, my concern with him is he's like 5'11", I think 181, 182 is what he ended up weighing at. But he's the most physical corner that I watched. He loves to hit people. I think he'd be a great fit culture-wise with Dan Campbell and what they're doing there. Mm-hmm. So we got Raiders at 7, unless you have any more on that pick.
No, that was it.
So Raiders at 7, I'd love to give him a corner, but the best two are off the board there. So let's go Tyree Wilson. The Raiders have so many problems. They could go Peter Skoronski. That'd be another thing I could consider, just because everyone on their offensive line, I think Skoronski would be an upgrade over that. But Wilson is too athletic, too freaky, too talented. I think edge is going to be a higher value position than Skoronski. A lot of people are saying Skoronski's like Zach Martin for the Cowboys, where he could play tackle, but he's an elite guard. And that's great. I think there is more value than people give it credit for just knowing you're getting a really good player and a good contributor. But I like Tyree Wilson there. So let's go Tyree Wilson to the Raiders.
Cool. Now, this is a little bit of a reach. Just looking at some of the rankings, Pro Football Focus has him at 28. So you maybe like him better than a lot of other people do.
I like him in between Pro Football Focus and some people think he could go number 2.
Interesting.
So it's kind of a mix. Like, realistically, like I said, I'd like to give him a corner, but I just think his combination, he is really good. He's really physical. I think he has a good motor, plays hard. He showed an ability to fight through double teams. So I do like him more than Pro Football Focus does. And usually here's the thing. That board, the Pro PFF board, used to be Mike Renner, who's our guy, was on the show. I'm excited to have him on again. But he just left, so some of the other guys updating that board I'm not as sold on as I used to be. So I don't know if he dipped because of that. But short answer is I'm between. I don't think he should go at number 2. Definitely not ahead of Will Anderson. But I also think his talent is worth a top 10 pick. So
interesting.
I think somewhere between 3 and 8 is like a perfect spot for him and worth it. So Tyree Wilson to the Raiders at 7. Now, Falcons at 8, which is your pick, a lot of interesting options. And a lot of players who they've been getting mocked are gone at this point.
Right. I think a lot of players that they would want are gone. I mean, there's not, you know, you're not going to get good value for a linebacker here. You're not going to get good value for a cornerback here, I don't think. Kind of seems too early to take a safety, even if there's a good one available. It seems like you could go quarterback. Will Levis is sitting right there. Makes a lot of sense. It seems like they kind of like Desmond Ridder, want to give it a go for a couple more years. So I think what we're going to have to do... give me just 1 second.
To me, the fun part of the draft is going to be like from 5 to... you know, mid late 20s, just because there's so much variability and that like different teams are going to have different players like all over the place. So we really don't know what's going to happen. So in this situation, the Falcons are in a tough spot. Yeah. Some people are giving him Bijan. How would you feel about that? Is that too early?
No, I think it's fine. I just feel, I don't know. I mean, I'm a BYU guy. And so I love the, his name escaped me.
Tyler right Algier.
Yeah, I love Tyler Algier. I don't know, and I don't, for me personally, I don't love drafting a running back that high. So I think in reality, I'd almost rather trade down if I were them. But if I am picking here, maybe Nolan Smith out of Georgia.
Ooh, I like that.
So, a little bit smaller, but as you talked about in your article, he's got a lot of really good things he can do. So.
Yes, that article on MJDoubleTake.com, and that's what I would do for all 32 teams, not predictive at all, so very different than what we're doing, which I think would be more in line. Nolan Smith, you know who he gets compared to?
Who's that?
Hassan Reddick.
Hey.
Who
I love blew
up the 49ers in the NFC Championship game.
Literally.
Literally blew Brock Purdy's arm up. Hey, yeah. He had to get surgery. Nolan Smith, I think he's like 230 something, like very light, ran a sub 4.5 40 for an edge defender, plays super hard, super tough, no gloves, which my high school defensive coordinator loved that if hated when defensive players wore gloves like on the front seven. So he would like that. Really tough player, I think, and he's someone who's been rising a lot as well in mock drafts, so I think that'd be a good pick. Falcons were 31st in pressure rate last year.
Uh-huh.
So getting Nolan Smith would be awesome for them. Yeah. Now, he's someone I would have considered for the Bears at 9. Most people are giving him offensive linemen. I think what I would do is give him a defensive lineman because they at least have Braxton Jones, Southern Utah grad, shout out, who can play left tackle, 5th-round pick last year. I want to give him a defensive lineman, also trying to be in line with at least somewhat predictive of what's going to happen. Let's go offensive lineman. So that leaves us between Paris Johnson and Peter Skoronski. I'll go Paris Johnson, Ohio State tackle. So he'll slide in to play right tackle, or they could even switch it out, Braxton Jones play right tackle and him play left tackle. Solidify the bookend. Peter Skoronski is the better player, but Johnson is definitely a tackle at the NFL level. He's someone who's been rising up the board of teams last week or so. So I think there's a chance he's drafted ahead of Peter Skoronski. Protect Justin Fields. So yeah, let's go Paris Johnson, right tackle.
Paris Johnson. Yeah. Okay, good. Awesome.
Is that good for you?
It is good for me because it leaves me who I want. Really, you know, I thought I was going to go cornerback here, you know, best cornerbacks, you know, being gone. But as I was thinking about it more, I think really the Eagles need to start building up the line. And so I think that's going to be the most important. So I'm tempted to get a defensive lineman, potentially Collegiate Kansi. You can tell me if I pronounced that wrong. But we are going to need to replace a lot of the offensive line very soon. So I'm going to go Peter Skoronski.
Okay. I think that's realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're going to need to replace, Jason Kelce soon. Obviously Skoronski does not play center. We're going to need to replace Lane Johnson soon. We lost, what's his name? Andre Dillard, who was a tackle. So we need one right there. So I think I would be happy to get a tackle at this point in the draft.
I think either of those two. I think Skronsky might even be a better fit for the Eagles because he can play either, like, either spot. And then let's say he plays guard this year, Lane Johnson retires next season. That's not a for sure thing, but a possibility. You can try him at right tackle in year two. Mm-hmm. So I think Skronsky's almost a better fit for the Eagles because of his versatility. And like you said, there's going to be a few different holes. They, on both sides, off and on the defensive line, I think you can get players at pick 30 there better than if you went the other way, defensive lineman than offensive lineman. So I think there's a good chance they go offensive lineman at 10.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Now, number 11, Tennessee. I was going to try to give them either Paris Johnson or Peter Skoronski, but I also figured they'd be gone at that point. I can't think of anyone besides Jaxon Smith-Njigba to give them. I like him over Darnell Wright, who's probably the next tackle, or Broderick Jones, another tackle. You could give him a tight end. I've just said this before. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba can be the best wide receiver in the NFL. So let's just go Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Let's not complicate it.
Okay.
Go Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 11 to Tennessee Titans.
First receiver off the board.
First, and, I mean, there's a chance there's not another one for a while. I mean, we'll see how the board falls. But.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. So that gives me the Texans again.
Yes. So you gave him Will Anderson at 2. You go on defense again. 2 quarterbacks still on the board. Well, technically more, but Levis and Richardson are the main two. Hooker's there.
Two kind of real ones that we would want. Defensive lineman kind of makes sense. I don't know. I mean, if you have Will Levis fall this far, I mean, that I think they're going to be tempted. I think in reality, if they've already got a defensive lineman, they probably go with Will Levis. But if I was doing it, I would draft Khalija Kansi.
Well, you are doing it. So is that who you're drafting?
That's what we're going to do, yeah.
Okay. D'Amico Ryans is going to be very happy with how that turns out.
Yeah.
Khalija Kansi, I think, well, one of us said it right, I'm sure. Pittsburgh defensive tackle, very small, very explosive, very good gap shooter. People love him because of that issue. Like a lot, I think this is the third time I'm saying this, is just his size. But if that's not a concern or you think you can work around it, pairing him with someone like Will Anderson, you know, on the line, I think it's a great fit. So 13 now is the Green Bay Packers. Was the New York Jets, but after the Rodgers trades the Green Bay Packers, you know, what I would do is give him a receiver or a tight end. Help Jordan Love out. I think I gave him Dalton Kincaid in my mock draft. That it was purely what I would do. But this is the first time I'm going to look at the big board. Everything else has been. I just want to make sure I'm not missing anybody here. But realistically, they haven't. They've drafted one. This is not news, but they've drafted one first round receiver in 20 plus years. I think Nolan Smith would be great, but he's gone. Ooh, man. I think I'm going to give him a defensive lineman, and I'm choosing between Lucas Van Ness and Miles Murphy. I'm going to go Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. So he's an edge rusher, but I think he can play inside. So, you know, line him up in the edge, and then on third downs, obvious passing situations, have him rush from the inside. So a little bit of versatility there. He didn't start at Iowa, but that's because they start seniors, and he wasn't a senior, so that's not zero concern, whatever. It's just how they run their program. Raw athlete. Well, I don't say raw athlete, but he is athletic. He's explosive. He's powerful. I liked him more, you know, from what he was able to do from pass rushing ability than other people have. So I think at 13 with Green Bay would be a great fit, kind of strengthen that defensive line. He's kind of like Rashawn Gary. I don't think it'd be enough where it's like redundant, but I think they have some versatility there. So I think that'd be interesting. So I'll go Lucas Van Ness to Green Bay. I wanted to put him at New England, but A, I don't have New England's pick, and B, you can't do a mock draft holding off people for other teams. So
exactly. Yeah. Cool. Well, looking at that, given that he's not available, I think that, you know, I don't know how much, how long, what's his face? I can't remember names today. Patriots coach.
Bill Belichick.
Anywho.
Long day at school?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's
yeah.
one thing to forget Tyler Allgeier, but Bill Belichick's another
yeah,
one.
That's a big one. Anywho, Bill Belichick, I think he's got to be looking at Dalton Kincaid and be very, very excited.
I like it.
So, yeah, I just think, you know, they did so good with Gronkowski. Dalton Kincaid's not going to be Gronkowski. Nobody is. But he's just going to be such a great pass catcher. And I think having a good tight end is so helpful if you're not totally sold on your quarterback. You know, part of the reason that Carson Wentz was able to do so well with the Eagles is just because he went to the tight ends again and again and again. And that worked, but it really limited the offense because we never really went over the top. But, you know, someone like Bill Belichick, there's a lot of things he's going to be able to do, be able to get a lot of first downs, even if he's still looking for his big weapon somewhere down the line.
I love that. So Kincaid at Utah was the only legitimate, like, plus receiver on the team. I was not a fan of Utah's receivers last year. Mm-hmm. So everyone knew where the ball was going. Everyone knew Kincaid was the only real difference maker. And he still led the country in receptions and I believe in touchdowns as well as a tight end. Got open against USC in the first game. He had 15 receptions for like 200 yards, something like that. An unbelievable stat. A big indicator of if you're going to be successful is if you're the guy on the college team and everyone knows that and they still can't guard you. That's why I like Josh Downs from North Carolina. He's the only legit receiving threat, I think, or plus receiving threat in North Carolina, and he's still balled out. So I love that Kincaid move. I don't like Mac Jones, but the best way to help Mac Jones is what you said, get him someone you know is going to help. So I like that. I like that move. First Utah kid drafted in this mock.
Good for him.
The only one is going to be drafted also. So 15, now it's the New York Jets. I'll go Darnell Wright. I actually don't mind the interior of their offensive line. Elijah Vera Tucker is going to be a guard. Lincoln Tomlinson used to be a 49er. A Duke grad, Lincoln Tomlinson. He's good. You know, Mekhi Becton, when he's good with New York if health isn't a thing. So I think getting Darnell Wright from Tennessee to play right tackle is kind of solidify that. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers now, which I still don't really love the move, but you're going all in, you know, shore up that blind side. You can get a receiver in the second round. And you already have, like, Garrett Wilson. You have a good receiving core. Defense is good. Definitely could improve. But I think getting Darnell Wright there is the biggest hole. And it kind of matches up with the board as well. So I think that's a no-brainer for the Jets. And I think they'd be stoked if they did end up with either Wright or Skronsky or Paris Johnson, one of those three.
Yeah. Cool. I like it. So now I've got the Washington football team, the Washington Commanders. And this one's tricky just because of the way things have played out.
Levis and Anthony Richardson still on the board.
I think it's a little too early to swing for Anthony Richardson just because it's such a huge question mark.
Well, and the Commanders have Sam Howell, who is a stud.
Yeah, so I don't think you do that. I don't think you really go Will Levis either. I think cornerback is probably a bigger need. But I also think that Michael Mayer may be a better prospect than any of the cornerbacks available right now.
Ooh.
So I'm interested in doing that. My other choice is Deontay Banks, but I'm going to go tight end, and do Michael Mayer.
Interesting. I like that because they have two really good receiving options in Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin. So adding Michael Mayer, who I've talked about, I compared him to a better Jason Witten.
Yeah.
I think he's really good at everything he does. That would help, just like Kincaid, that'd really help Sam Howell, second-year quarterback. You know, you get probably a top eight, I haven't done the math in my head, but I don't want to say top five, but a really plus receiving room with Dotson, McLaurin, and Michael Mayer as your tight end.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, growing up when we did, being a BYU fan, I just love tight ends. You know, Dennis Pitta, Andrew George, that was like the height of football for me. So yeah. I'm a big tight end guy.
I love that. I did not think that you were going to go there, but I like both of those tight end picks for New England and Washington. You know, Bijan also still on the board.
Bijan's still on the board.
Now, I'm at 17, and I got Pittsburgh. They're not going to draft Bijan because they drafted Najee in the first round a couple years ago. I'm going to give them Broderick Jones, tackle from Georgia. I think Pittsburgh's in an interesting situation where they don't have a ton of holes. But also, I think offensive line's probably the weakest spot. And Broderick Jones is a young player. He has, out of, like, the top tackles, the least, like, reps. So I think going to a place like Pittsburgh where he's not going to be forced to be like if he was in Chicago, it's like, we need you to be good right now. I think Pittsburgh obviously wants him to be good, but I think there'd be a little bit more of a developmental leash there. So I think that'd be a good fit. And same thing, Kenny Pickett. I didn't love the draft pick, but they have him. You might as well protect him and help him out as much as you can. So we'll go Broderick Jones to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, cool. Very good. All right, so I've got Detroit, and I believe this is Detroit's second pick, or did I make that up?
No, it is. You gave them Devin Witherspoon in the first round.
Devin Witherspoon, that's true. Okay, good, awesome. So we've given them a cornerback, so we don't need to go Deontay Banks. I'm going to go Miles Murphy because they need linebackers, they need defensive linemen, and he's listed as edge, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that means he's going to be a little bit more flexible and be able to, you know, move where they think he's going to be best.
Yeah, I think he is flexible. I think in Detroit, they would play him, you know, hand in the dirt at, like, coming after the quarterback from space for the most part. But I think he can be a little bit flexible with him. He's got long arms, really athletic. Yeah, I think Murphy would be a great pick there. I'm liking your draft so far.
Well, thanks.
We're getting to a tough spot now. We're at 19. We're getting to the part where we're running out of players I love, at least. So we're going to be kind of jamming in players. 19 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think if it went like this, I think they would draft Will Levis. So that's what I'll do. We'll stop the slide for Will Levis.
Perfect.
19 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you're a fan of Levis, you're a fan of Levis because of 2021. Really athletic NFL offense. Lot of, you know, huge arm. I think as maybe a slightly less big as arm as Anthony Richardson, but can make every throw, no problem. 2022, he was injured, lost a lot of talent to the NFL. His running back got suspended for 4 games. Didn't have a lot of help. Still went in and beat Florida and Anthony Richardson when they went head-to-head. I think there's a lot to like. I think people are hating on him, and not necessarily because they don't like him, but just because you have to justify why he's not going where Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud is, which brings in some negatives. He's 24, which isn't fantastic. Couldn't beat out Sean Clifford at Penn State, which are two negatives. But I think he's talented enough where at 19, definitely worth the risk. You get that fifth-year option. And Tampa Bay, they're in an interesting spot where they're like kind of ready to compete but also need to fill some holes. But I think if either of those quarterbacks, Levis or Anderson, were available at 19, excuse me, Levis or Richardson, I apologize, were available at 19, they'd go that route. So let's give Tampa Will Levis.
Okay, Will Levis, very good. Well, not to copy you with going with a quarterback, but I think Seattle they're in a similar position. They made the playoffs last year. People are really, really excited about the Seahawks. You know, Geno Smith playing well, but he's getting older, so they think they're going to need to replace him. But I think they've got, you know, at least two more good years or good enough years of Geno Smith. So why not take Anthony Richardson and see if you can get anything? Just because, you know, there are probably better picks they could do. There's some cornerbacks they could take. But with the ceiling being so high on Richardson, I feel like they're in an opportunity. They're going to get tempted to do it.
Yeah, well, and they're, you know, so we gave them Jalen Carter 5, so they're taking two swings. If they, talent-wise, could be the two best players in the draft. Mm-hmm. So if they hit on one of them, great draft. And I think Seattle would be a great spot for Anthony Richardson. Good receivers, good culture, good coaching staff. There's not a lot of distractions in Seattle, So I think it's a great place. Mm-hmm. Not that he's a distracted person, but just like people, like Seattle players have talked about going to Seattle, and it's just most football players are from the South. Mm-hmm. Seattle's a little bit different than Alabama or Georgia, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, so depending on, I don't know anything about Anthony Richards' personal life, could be a good thing, could be a bad thing.
I think he's a hard worker. I wasn't saying that in the sense that he needs to go a place without distractions. But I think Seattle would be a great fit for him if you just had to, like, shoehorn somewhere.
Yeah, and I wasn't implying that. I just meant it could be a good thing, like, for him, what he want is, like, whether he wants any experience or not.
And I think Geno would be a good person to learn from. Same thing. Geno did do really well last year, got into the playoffs. So he's in a place where he doesn't have to play at all, doesn't have to learn, or doesn't have to play right away. I think that'd be great. Now, Levis probably would have to play right away. So I think both of those guys would rather go to Seattle than Tampa. If I had picked Richardson to Tampa, would you have gone Levis to Seattle, or would you have gone with someone else?
I think I would have gone with somebody else, because I think, you know, I'd like to probably get a cornerback or a defensive lineman. It's just that, you know, Richardson has so much potential. Like, I don't feel like you want to take a real shot on quarterback and make them play their first year, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, Will Levis, it's like, he's fine, but he probably has the lowest ceiling of all the quarterbacks in this draft. So we're not going to, you know, get a quarterback with a low ceiling to play behind Geno Smith for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. So Levis and then Richardson. I think, Richardson to Seattle, I think that could be as good a spot as any for him. 21, Los Angeles Chargers. I'll go with Jordan Addison. You know, problem is I think this is the fourth time I'm saying this, maybe the fifth time. He's small. I think he weighed in at like 166 at the combine, like 5'11". But he won the Biletnikoff in 2021 when he was at Pitt. Just an unbelievably smooth route. The only thing he doesn't do well is be big. Everything else he does really well. He ran like, I think, a mid 4.5s. I probably should have looked some of this up, but I'm just doing this all off the top of my head. So but his game is never about beating you over the top anyway. We've talked Cooper Kupp ran a 4.6 40. If you know how to get open or a good route runner and understand timing, you don't need a 4.6. You know, my when we were, this is a tangent, but it's related, I promise. So we were in sixth grade, our high school that we would have ended up going to, lost in the state championship, huge bummer. But that's the game, that's like the first football game I remember like being at in person, or one of them, and like, you know, really wanting to play football at that point. The best receiver on that team was named Zach Wade. And when I was in high school, like years later, we were at a practice and I was talking to him, and I was, you know, I was 5'10", ran, you know, maybe a 4.6 or 4.7, wasn't that fast, wasn't that athletic. And I was just talking to him, and he was like, you know, you don't need to be that fast if you can run routes and you can get open. It doesn't matter how you do it. Long way of saying, I think Jordan Addison's going to be a really good pro and, you know, give Justin Herbert some more weapons. Keenan Allen's getting older, so I think he'd be a good fit with the Chargers.
I like it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Shout out Zach Wade.
Good for Zach Wade. Cool. So I have got 22.
Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens. Okay, Baltimore Ravens need a cornerback. We haven't gone cornerback in a little while. So I'm going to go Joey Porter.
Well, that's fun. Because his dad played for the Steelers forever.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so his dad's like Joey Porter, who played with James Harrison, like all those guys.
Yeah, that is... Now, would you rather have your father play for the Steelers for all that time and then get drafted to the Ravens? Or would you prefer for your name to be literally named Dallas after the Dallas Cowboys and then have the Eagles trade in front of the Cowboys to pick you?
I think both are hilarious.
Both are very funny.
I think the parents, I think Joey Porter as a professional would be more understanding. I think the parents would probably be annoyed because they're clearly huge Cowboys fans.
Yeah.
Oh, Dallas Goedert is who we're talking about there.
Love Dallas Goedert.
The Eagles Cowboys rivalry has to be the best in the NFL, right?
I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, Cowboys 49ers is fun, but they don't play as much. I mean, Steelers Ravens is really, really great too.
Steelers Ravens, the Bears. Last time they were good, Jay Cutler was a quarterback.
Yeah.
Or Rex Grossman.
That would be a very fun rivalry if they could be good.
Niners-Seahawks is good when both those teams are good, but that hasn't been the case for a while.
Yeah.
Niners-Cowboys is really fun when it's in the playoffs, but that's just like kind of a vintage thing.
Yeah, and I mean, no offense to the Niners, but when I think of intense football rivalries, I don't think of San Francisco and Seattle, you know?
I mean, it was... it was heated, it was really... Yeah. But I know what you mean.
They're not football towns those other places are.
Yeah, I would say either Dallas, Philly, or... yeah. Baltimore, Pittsburgh is another good one. Probably one of those two.
Yeah.
As far as like intensity, like the 2000s when both those teams were like really really good and they had like Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu and James Harrison and Joey Porter and Ray Lewis. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Those were fun games.
That was fun.
What pick are we on? Did you pick?
Yes, I picked for Joey Porter.
Oh,
the
yes, 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 yes,
which
yes.
Why we're
yeah.
talking about this.
I like Joey Porter. Joey Porter Jr. I guess both Joey Porters. All right. So 23, Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is one I've been the most vocal about. I'll go Hendon Hooker, quarterback, Tennessee. I think he's just too good, and it makes too much sense with Kirk Cousins' contract situation. Hendon Hooker's recovering from an ACL. Cousins is clearly the guy this year. His contract's up next year. Do you want to re-sign him at age 35 for a lot of money? Or have someone on a rookie deal, and they have the best receiver in the league, enough talent around them where they can take a rookie contract and really build that roster up really quick to compete with Detroit and Chicago in that order in the NFC. So I say take Hendon Hooker, and you got 4 years to just go all in for a Super Bowl. So I think it makes too much sense, and really since like February at least, I've been saying I want that to be the pick. For the Vikings.
Okay, yeah. No, I agree. You have been talking about that a lot, so we'll...
I'm excited.
Hopefully happens.
Hopefully.
Cool.
I like Hendon Hooker a lot.
Nice. Very good.
Bijan's still on the board, by the way.
Bijan still on the board. Yeah, I don't know. We've got a couple teams who need running backs.
I think in reality those teams would have traded up, too. I could see, like... a few of these teams in the late 20s trading up earlier to get Bijan.
Yeah.
So I think he'll go higher than we're having him go, but we're not doing trades.
Yeah, we did mention a couple teams that might want to trade down.
So yeah.
There we go. Cool. Well, I've got the Jaguars at 24. And I think, you know, there's a couple cornerbacks that might be better picks here. But I think they need a safety. And I think a good safety is really, really important. And so I think you might get a really good player in Brian Branch. So I'm going to go Brian Branch.
You do love a good safety.
Yeah.
You do love a good safety. I love Branch. He didn't test, like, out of this world, but he played the same position as Minka Fitzpatrick at Bama, what they call a star, where you're playing, you know, nickel, strong safety, kind of all over the place. He can line him up anywhere. Really, really smart player. And Jacksonville's in a good spot. They have a good defensive line, you know, young front seven, adding him to the secondary, I think it would be a great move. And I think that's probably the most commonly like mocked pick I've seen other than Bryce Young to the Panthers.
Interesting.
So I think that'd be a good fit. New York Giants, 25. Now this is the hardest team I've had in any of my mocks, any of my conversations. I think the way it's going, though, Deontay Banks is still on the board. I really like him, cornerback from Maryland. He's physical. He's long. I think he has the potential to have better ball skills than he showed at Maryland. You can play him, I think, in a variety of ways. A really good athlete. Very, you know, physical, competitive. Kind of everything I think you want in a corner. And getting to this point, New York... I don't think it's that good of a roster. I've been very anti-Giants roster since Gettleman started building it. But I think Banks is an easy way to get a young, talented playmaker or difference maker in the secondary. So if Banks is still there, or even Porter, if you would have gone the other way around, no question. If Banks is gone, then I have no idea what the Giants do. But Banks to the Giants, I think, is a great fit.
All right, very good. Well, I've ended up with the Cowboys, so how about I don't want to pick them a good player. No, what I'll do for them, I do think that losing Ezekiel Elliott, you know, obviously he was not the number one running back there, right? But you don't want to be on a team that just has one running back. So if Bijan Robinson really does fall this far, I think it's going to be tempting for them not to take him.
I think Jerry would love Bijan.
Yeah.
And I also think Dallas would even trade up to get him. So I think there's a good chance he ends up in Dallas. So I think that makes sense for sure. Bijan to the Cowboys, staying in Texas. You know, he went to Sal Point Catholic in Tucson when I was living in Arizona. And part of the one of the many problems with Arizona before Jed Fisher got there, I know everyone tuned into the podcast to talk about University of Arizona football, but they didn't even recruit him. He wasn't going to go there, but they didn't even, like, try. Like, the recruiting was just a real mess. So that's why I like what – I said Jeff Fisher. That's wrong. I meant Jed Fish, head coach at University of Arizona. I apologize for that, but I love what he's doing down at U of A. 27, I think it was Buffalo, right?
27 is
– yeah, it's Buffalo because 28's Cincy. Okay, Buffalo. Ooh. I don't want to go linebacker in the first round. Jordan Addison's gone. You know, I don't love any of the defensive this is tough. This is a tough one. I'll go with Emmanuel Forbes. That, my default is just to go corner. Now, they do have a good secondary, and that's definitely not one of their weaknesses. But I like Forbes better than any of the offensive linemen, any of the defensive tackles still on the board. They could go edge as well. I hope they go linebacker at some point in the draft. But I'll go Emmanuel Forbes. 6'1", like 160 pounds, 65 pounds. So, like, super thin guy, but... And just a ball hawk, really instinctive player, really good baseball player growing up as well. You know, dual sport athlete, we're a fan of. So Emmanuel Forbes to Buffalo, let's lock it in.
Emmanuel Forbes to Buffalo, very good.
Now, Cincy, I think they would have been a good spot for either Kincaid or Mayer. They're both gone, though. I think they're in an interesting spot. And I, no matter how mocks go, I don't love how it ends up for Cincy. I think they're too low to get some of the players they'd really like.
Yeah, I think so too. What I do think is they desperately need more offensive linemen.
Okay.
And so because of that, I'm just going to take the best offensive lineman available, Anton Harrison. I do think that they would have liked a tight end. I think they need a safety. They lost a couple of good safeties. Need help on the defensive line as well. But like you said, this is maybe not the best spot for defensive linemen. So I think you just get the best offensive lineman you can, which at this point seems to be Anton Harrison.
Interesting. Okay. 29, New Orleans Saints. Let's go player I like a lot. Let's go Keon White from... I'm torn between two. Yeah, I'll go Keon White, edge rusher from Georgia Tech. So, you know, I really like him. Plays really hard. Watching him play this year, he was all over the place. Not always in a good way, but a lot of the time in a good way. Very disruptive, very active. I think his best football is in front of him. Now, he is 24, so getting a somewhat developmental guy at 24 isn't the best thing in the world, but I think he's talented enough to still contribute year one. But I think year two, year three, you can get a really, really good player in Keon White. So let's put him on the Saints, who... I never understand what they do in any draft, but I think that'd be the best fit for him here.
Okay, very good.
Eagles are up again.
Eagles are up once again. And the Eagles got an offensive lineman. And so, you know, we could go corner, although I don't see a lot of corners still available that I super love. So there's a couple of Osiris Torrance is available. There's a lot of defensive linemen, though, that I think they could go with. And so let's go with Felix Anundike Ozoma.
I love that guy. I love Felix.
All right. Tell me about Felix. You probably know more than I do.
So I just really liked watching him. He's a big player. He's physical. Same thing when I was talking about Tyree Wilson. He had to fight off double teams, I thought, quite a bit, and I thought he showed an ability to do that. When you're getting to this point at the edge class, him, Keon White, there's a lot of players who you're hoping they can take a leap in the NFL. I think Felix has as good a shot as anybody. He's who I had going to Philly in my mock at 30, so I think that'd be good.
Hey, well, there you go.
Yeah. So I really like Felix. Shout out to K-State. Jacob Caldwell, our baseball guy, is an alum from there. Now, Quinn Johnson's not going to go in the first round in this draft. Neither is Jahmyr Gibbs.
Look at that.
Because I'm going to give the Chiefs Brian. I actually still don't know how to pronounce the name. Brisi. Defensive tackle from Clemson.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Number one recruit in high school. Freshman year at Clemson. Balled out. Had a couple of injuries. Had a family tragedy this past year as well. So really wasn't the player we saw our freshman year. I think the biggest downside of him is his height. Being a tall defensive tackle is hard. I know I was saying Kalijah Kansey's too short, so I'm sounding pretty picky here. But I think he's a good player, and he's talented enough where the Chiefs are getting him at 31, shore up that defensive line, bolster their pass rush. They could go Zay Flowers here. He's still in the – and I think in real life he'd go in the first round. They could go Jahmyr Gibbs. I hope the Chiefs would, and I hope they learned their lesson from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even though Gibbs is a better player. But I think Breece is a good combination of positional value, fitting your need, and best players available. So we'll give him Brian Breece.
That seems like a good pick.
I love it.
Sure. And there's not a 32nd pick in this round, correct?
Nope. So that was the last pick.
Yeah.
Unless you want to do the Pittsburgh Steelers second round pick.
Not in particular, unless you like me to.
Nope. I think we're good.
Got it.
So that was our mock draft. Again, combination of what we would do versus what we think is going to happen. You're going to have one day to listen to it. Or you can listen to it after the draft and see how close we got. And maybe there's some players who we drafted who didn't go in the first round who would be available day two. We're going to end with a top five, NFL draft-related top five. Any comments before we get into that?
That was fun. I've never done a mock draft before. This is my first mock draft, so it was a good time.
Yeah. So what we are doing is best cities to get drafted to. Now, this is not our personal preference. I think, though, there's going to be some bias in there. But it's kind of objectively best cities you would want to live in. Little bit of personal preference, but really just trying to see, where would people, NFL players in particular, want to live.
Yes.
Should I go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. So number five, I'm going to put Atlanta. Well, I wanted to put Dallas, wanted to put Charlotte on my list. Wanted to put Los Angeles, but I put Atlanta. Number four, I put D.C., and that might be higher than most people would have them, but I think D.C. is an awesome city, a lot to do. Technically, the Commanders play in Maryland, but I'm counting it as D.C. Number three, I put Miami. Two, I put Phoenix. And number one, I put Nashville. So best cities, again, not my personal preference, but what I think were the best places to get drafted would be Atlanta, D.C., Miami, Phoenix, and Nashville. Wanted to put L.A., wanted to put Charlotte, wanted to put Dallas. I wanted to put San Francisco, but I don't think a lot of NFL players are viewing San Francisco as a top five, so I took my bias out of it.
Right. Well, the problem with San Francisco is you're really getting drafted to San Jose.
Yeah.
So
I also wanted to put Chicago, but it's too cold.
Right, for sure.
And New York, also cold, plus everyone's mean.
Definitely. Right.
All
right,
what's your list?
Yeah, I think I'm just looking. I want to make sure that I don't, pass up any, really big ones. Okay, cool.
There's some good cities.
There are some good cities. I'm gonna go. This is gonna seem crazy. People are not gonna like this pick, but I stand by it. Green Bay, and the reason I say Green Bay is because I feel like there's no other NFL city like it. It's gonna be such a unique experience. They've got so many cool traditions. and you're the only thing going on in town, I think that would be a cool experience. Even if it's missing a lot of the other living things you might want, I think just the experience of being there would be really special. I think a lot of people end up really, really, really liking it there. So Green Bay is going to be number five, giving them an honorable mention. Mm. Number four, I will say Seattle. I think a lot of the reasons you might have been tempted to say San Francisco that maybe is not working out, I think you can get with Seattle being actually on the coast, probably rainier than you would like, but great, great game day environment. Really pretty, really cool city.
I do love Seattle.
Yeah.
Loudest NFL game I've been to was Seattle.
Nice. So number three, Atlanta. Get to be in the South, get to be warm.
Capital of the South in a lot of ways.
Yes, definitely. So Atlanta number three. I am going to say LA number two. I think a lot of people would put LA really high. If this was me personally, a couple of years ago, I would have said San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego might be. Yeah, personally, we both love. You know, so I like LA much more than you do.
Yeah, I'm not a huge LA guy. Definitely like San Diego more.
San Diego would absolutely be in the top five of both our lists
for sure. But unfortunately, they're in Los Angeles now. Yeah. And then number.
So you're not gonna have at least two of my top three cities. In
no,
yours.
And I actually realize now I've kind of screwed up. So, you know, move everything down a couple of spots. We're going to put Philly number two. Green Bay got booted, sorry.
Philly just because...
Well, like no, it's not just because of that, but I think for a lot of the reasons that I said Green Bay, I mean, Philly's really an Eagles town. People love the Eagles. And I do think it is a really cool city in terms of food, in terms of history. It's actually one of the best... place in the world for trail running, believe it or not, because it's so close to the Delaware River, and then also you're not crazy far from the Appalachian Mountains.
There are a lot of trees outside of Philly, in the Philly area.
So you're close to nature, you're in a really cool city, great game day environment, so for those reasons I put it up.
Okay.
And so I kind of lost count with what I was doing. So everything below that slides down one spot. And then number one, Miami. I think that's a place that a lot of NFL players have got to be very, very excited about.
Yeah, for sure. I think people are stoked when they get to Miami. I was probably too personally biased with Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, but it depends on the player.
Nashville's cool. I enjoyed driving through Nashville and, you know, that restaurant we went to.
Where the medium chicken, like, made me cry.
Yeah. Yeah, we did not spend a lot of time. Well, you got... something spicier than I did. I got some sort of a sandwich or something to cool it down.
I just got like chicken and like, I think fried okra and mac and cheese. And it was on a scale, one of the things on a scale of 1 to 5, I got a 3. And it's literally the hottest thing I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was really good though.
It was
good. Still really liked it. No, Nashville's a cool city. I like the state of Tennessee, Nashville in particular, a lot. So I think there's a certain brand of NFL players, not everybody, but I think for a lot of NFL players, Nashville is a great place to live. A lot of people are moving there.
And there's a lot we miss. Like, I think a lot of people would like Houston. I think a lot of people would like Pittsburgh for the same reason that I said Philly.
Yeah, a lot of personal preference, but I think Chicago, is a cool city. I do think Dallas would be high on the list. I think there's a lot to do there. I know you hate the Cowboys, but just like city wise, Charlotte's cool. I think, I don't know if players would like Vegas.
It seems like...
some players would, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, I feel like being on the team, I don't know how much you actually get to participate in Vegas during the season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably should add LA on my list if it's kind of just in general. But that's show, that's mock draft. Appreciate everybody listening. I'm going to put it up tonight so we can get listening as soon as we can. I love the draft, really excited for that. If you haven't given us a 5-star review or subscribe, please do so. Really helps us out. We'll put it up on all the socials, and we'll talk to you guys next week.